Those fire marshals that come around, like they come around mostly once a year to inspect our church building, who wants to see the fire marshal when there's no fire? All he's interested is in all those little details and make sure that everything's up to date. And it's a bit of a nuisance, we think, because, well, we've never had a fire here, and it's very unlikely, and so on. But when a firefighter is involved in a great fire, where lives are at risk, and where he, through his training and his gear, is able to go in and save lives, then there is the applause. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. It is a joy to join with you day by day to bring you the message of the gospel, and I pray that you will know the comfort of the Lord in your own heart and in your own soul as you listen in to the sermon messages from our Free Presbyterian Church. And I trust that the Lord will be your helper as you seek to walk with Him in this sinful world. Last Sunday evening, I was preaching about the Christian as a pilgrim in this world. It demands a whole new mindset. And Peter told us that we are to gird up the loins of our mind. That means that we are to be in a state of watchfulness, readiness, as a pilgrim. Because there are many dangers. We do not live behind the fortress walls with a moat and drawbridge. We are in the midst of the enemy. And there are many predators. So may the Lord in grace draw near to you, strengthen, help, and bless you. My prayer is that these programs will truly be heartwarming, that they will strengthen you in your Christian faith. They will lift you up and give you just that power for the day to live for God and to serve Him. If I can be of any personal help, I'd love to hear from you. If we can pray for you, if we can even just share emails, well, that's an opportunity to minister to your heart. Now, on the program today, we are dealing with the conversion of Manasseh. Manasseh was the worst of the Old Testament kings, but he was amazingly converted. And as the prodigal in the Gospels, Manasseh became a man of God. And he was turned around. This is the power of the gospel. And we will be looking at that today. So stay tuned with us. We'll also be giving you our website information and various announcements on our Let the Bible Speak ministry. And I trust you'll be praying for this ministry as it goes out across this country. It goes out in a number of stations, east to west. And our prayer is that God will use His own word. We cleave to that promise, "My word shall not return to me void." We have a hymn today, "Abide with Me," and I hope that will be of encouragement to you as well. We begin then with our question for today. And this question comes from a young man who attends our church. And his question is about, in what way is Christ the fulfillment of the Passover lamb? And he has met the objection that because the Lord Jesus himself was not burnt in physical fire, how can he be the fulfillment of the Passover, which had to be a burnt roast offering? Well, here is my answer to the question. The typology of the burnt sacrifice, which was greatly emphasized in the Old Testament offerings, is fulfilled spiritually between the Father and the Son. No man could extract from the Lord the infinite value of His merits, the wrath of God, typified in the fire, consuming the sacrifice, fell upon His Son in the hours when man was shut out from the spiritual sufferings of the Lord during the 3 hours of darkness. Christ endured and absorbed all of God's wrath due to the elect. He put out the fire of God's wrath by bearing the spiritual sufferings beyond the physical. Our Lord offered up Himself through the eternal Spirit, without spot to God. We read of that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. And in those areas of the types which were Godward, as the intercession of the high priest, they must be fulfilled personally and spiritually by the Lord Jesus. They are transactions between God and the Son, as led out in the covenant of grace, which is between the Father and the Son. We might say that the physical sufferings of Christ were the circumstantial aspects of atonement, while the spiritual sufferings were the spiritual aspects of the atonement. These sufferings are often referred to in Scripture as the sword of the Father's justice falling upon the Son. We read of that in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. And then in Isaiah 53, we have that pleased the Father to bruise him. And you have God taking delight in punishing his Son that he might save his people. Now that's a great mystery. How could God be pleased to bruise his own Son? And yet it was in view of his church that would be redeemed through the death and sufferings of the Lord Jesus. We can say then that the fire of the altar was to burn in the very person of the Lord Jesus. That fire which in the Old Testament burnt night and day, it was not to go out. It took the death of Christ to put the fire out. And thus the Old Testament ministration of offerings by typical sacrifices and the continual burning of the altar ended when Christ offered up himself to satisfy divine justice. Then the fire of God's wrath was put out forever. That truth was demonstrated when the veil was torn from top to bottom. Then priestly ministry was over. What a Savior we have, and what peace we find in these glorious truths. Types and shadows give way to truth and salvation in our blessed Lord Jesus. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're going to move soon to our message on the conversion of Manasseh, the worst of the Old Testament kings, converted by God's grace. And we have a hymn for you. It is Abide With Me. May the Lord draw near, minister to your heart, and bless you today. Thank you. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today. We're going to turn to the Lord's Word here again, to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, and we're going to look at this conversion of Manasseh. And maybe because of my voice today, I will cut a few details in all the background of this account and get straight to the message. But this is one of the most outstanding conversions in the Old Testament. A man who you would say was hell-bent for hell, but God in grace stopped him. And this is one of the things we're noting in these conversions, that God does the stopping of those who are on the madness of a sinful life. And that's so encouraging, because if men were to stop themselves, they'd never do it. But the Lord in His grace does that very thing. Let's bow in prayer firstly and ask for just the Lord to come and settle our hearts and to fill us full of faith as we hear His Word together. Our Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus. We seek the help of heaven to our souls today. And we pray that Thou wilt teach us what it is to be converted to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to live for Thee. We thank Thee for many in this gathering who are redeemed, who are saved, who've had a U-turn in their life, and they're on their way to heaven. But, O Lord, we pray that the many that are all around us without a Savior, that they may be brought to the place of surrender and saved by grace. Give help, Lord, to this gathering. Help us to hear Your Word profitably. May we be built up in our faith. May we be challenged as to our personal need. And, Lord, I pray for help. I pray for the Spirit of God to descend and to fill us with that power we need to proclaim the glorious gospel. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The first account of this man, Manasseh, is when he was 12 years old on the throne. His father, Hezekiah, one of the great kings of Judah, passed away when this young boy was but 12 years. And as is often the case, when children are raised, even in the very best of Christian homes, we do not see the real state of a young person's heart until they get the reins for themselves. Well, Manasseh got the reins at an early stage in life, and his very name means cause to forget. And everything that Hezekiah set up in Israel, Manasseh was bent to pull it down. He was the worst model and the greatest offender to the heart of God.
And yet in this life of Manasseh, God gets great glory in his conversion. And I liken this to the honor of a fireman. Those fire marshals that come around, like they come around mostly once a year to inspect our church building, who wants to see the fire marshal when there's no fire? All he's interested is in all those little details and make sure that everything's up to date. And it's a bit of a nuisance, we think, because, well, we've never had a fire here, and it's very unlikely, and so on. But when a firefighter is involved in a great fire, where lives are at risk, and where he, through his training and his gear, is able to go in and save lives, then there is the applause. There is the recognition that here is valor, here is mercy, and here is honor to be bestowed. And likewise, God allows souls to catch the fire of sin and put out that fire that God may receive the glory. This man's conversion, therefore, holds out hope to us all. There is none too depraved, none too ungodly, none too fallen that you cannot be saved. And maybe you think yourself today to be a hopeless case. Even before you came to church, you said, well, there's no point in me going to church because I'm a hopeless case. There's no hope for me. Well, boy, have I got good news for you. This man, Manasseh, many had written him off. Many would have said there's not a chance of that man ever being conformed, reformed, or regenerated. And maybe someone have come to that point about you as well. They've prayed for you for years, read the Bible to you, showed you how to be saved, what your sin is doing to you, the direction you're going, the seeds that you're sowing, the harvest that you're going to reap. But you don't care. And you give yourself up as a hopeless case. Manasseh becomes our object lesson on what God can do for the very worst of sinners. I want you to see the extent of his obstinacy. Obstinacy. And really, that's what's in the heart of every unconverted person, is this rebellious, stubborn obstinacy. They see it, they hear it, they look at others and know these things, but there is an obstinacy. You'll notice in verse 2 that he resorted to the madness of the heathen. Now, I call it madness very deliberately because the things that these heathen were doing, and they're called abominations in this verse 2. Now, usually when abomination is read, it's some awful immorality, or it could be idolatry. And it was for that reason that God drove the heathen out of the nation. And God gave the land to Israel because of their abominations, their wickedness. God drove them out. And here is Manasseh. He is going back to the very things for which the heathen had been driven out. Now, that's madness. If you were a witness or knew the history that God cleansed the land from these heathen ways and heathen people, you would say, boy, if I live like that, I'll end up with the same judgment. Well, Manasseh just shut his mind to that. It was plain madness. And in verse 9, you'll notice, so Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen. Boy, I don't grasp this, but it can happen. A son of a godly father, a son what we would call a Christian home, and he's out doing worse than the very ungodly that have never known the things of the Lord. You'll see in verse 3 that he was a gross idolater. He built again the places which his father had broken down. You couldn't call this man a doer. He was an undoer. He undid the good that his father did. He set about doing the very things that his father wanted to change. And he turned to awful idolatry. And it says he built again the high places which Hezekiah's father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. Now, do you think that's bad? What do you read verse 4? And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Oh, bad enough to do this behind the hedge on a mountaintop in some secret place. But to bring it right into the house of the Lord, Jerusalem, the temple, the holy place, the place that was sanctified and sacred, the place that in Solomon's day the glory of the Lord came down and filled the house. Here is this wicked Manasseh bringing these sacrifices and altars and groves and building an image, a false god, right in the place of holy worship. The audacity of it. Oh, the pride of it. So he was a gross idolater. And more than that he did it for himself, he caused the people to do it too. Of course, he, being king, had powers of persuasion. He could say to this man, go, and he would do it. And here he would call the people to worship an image. He became a leader in idolatry. He caused the people to err, to go astray. Now, we would say, such a person's hopeless. Such a person is beyond salvation, that there could be no such mercy. But that's not what we find. This man, Manasseh, was stopped and saved. And I want you to know today that God can stop you and God can save you, whatever the state of your heart, whatever the state of your life. There's a great verse in Matthew 12, 31. It says that all manner of sin and uncleanness shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. That's the gospel we preach. You see, this is not a message of condemnation. This story of Manasseh inserted here in 2 Chronicles 33 in the Bible, the Word of God for your reading, is not a message to cause you to despair, but it's to give you hope. It's to encourage you. It's to show you that a man can go an awful length in the ways of sin and yet be converted. But sadly, he did even worse than this. If you move on down to verse 10, you will see that he rejected God's messengers. And in fact, he butchered them. The Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but he would not hearken. He would not hearken. And he caused blood. It is believed that this is the king that was responsible for the death of the prophet Isaiah. He shed blood right there in the very city. He caused awful damage in the house of God. This is that Manasseh. And he resisted God's messengers. And then in verse 11, when the Assyrians came and they hunted down this king Manasseh, he ran from them. He ran into the thickets and to the thorns. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't give up his pride. God sent those enemies. They found him. They found him among the thorns. They bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon in the pride of his heart. That's this wicked Manasseh. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to change him? Well, he resisted the messengers. I wonder today, is it possible that you would resist the preaching of the gospel? I don't know why that in the providence of God that you're here today inside the walls of this church in our morning service. I don't know why, as I thought about preaching here today, that God led me to this account of King Manasseh. I don't know why that you're hearing these very things. But if you would consider resisting the message of the gospel, here's a warning. Here's a warning to you. To resist the gospel, the offer of mercy and forgiveness, the offer of salvation, the offer of putting all the past behind you and getting right with God. To resist that offer, it will bring judgment. We see that right here in Manasseh. The foreign enemy came, conquered him, dragged him off to Babylon, over 1,000 miles away from home. And my dear friend, sinner, unsaved person today, if you say no to the mercy, the grace of the Lord, how dark, how desperate will your state be? What a dangerous thing to do. And it was while he was in affliction. It says here in this verse 12, and when he was in affliction. Can you imagine being in a prison in Babylon with a foreign army, a king that was to be taunted and teased and to be despised? That was affliction. That was hardship. What a desperate state to be in. Oh, the extent of this man's obstinacy. And if you come to church and you hear the gospel and you say to the messenger, no, I've no time for the mercy of God. What does it tell me about the state of your heart? What does it tell me about your soul?
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Our final scripture I want to leave with you is from Proverbs 18, verse 24. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who else could that be for the Christian than our Lord Jesus himself? He came in our likeness. He walked this scene of time for 33 years. He went to the cross to be our friend, to reconcile us to the Father. He gives us the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ, that his marvelous presence may be our portion, and that we may have fellowship with him. May the Lord draw near to you, encourage your heart, and bless you richly. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious Word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible Class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.